All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for August 14th, 2023. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 398. My name is David Kosberger. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com. My name is David Kosberger. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I have the option professor here to do a solo market update. You should be seeing his screen right now. So I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody. The markets have been a little bit choppy here in the morning. We have rolled over off the high point in the last week or so, and I guess NASDAQ had the first back-to-back weekly losses of the year. So these are things that are not surprising to us, and I'll be able to explain why. Quick introduction, the option professor, myself, I've been in the business here for decades, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of seminars on options, the uses and risk of options, to thousands of investors worldwide. And I have a couple of things that I focus on as far as technical indicators, and I'll explain those to you right now. And I'll also be going over how I also work with short dated weekly and zero DTE options as well, which might be something that some of you are interested in with your speculative capital, because obviously they are short dated, so they're very speculative, but the volume speaks for itself. There's a lot of people speculating in that area. Again, I'll be giving you my opinion today, and I'll be sharing my observations. I'm not going to be giving any advice out today. That you are supposed to be going to your brokerage firm, finding out what your suitability level is, and then proceeding accordingly. So this is not advice. It is simply opinion. And here we go. S&P 500. Okay, right now, we are looking at around 4496 on my screen here. And let me explain a little bit about how I operate as far as figuring out when things are going up or down. First of all, I like to look at things on all different time frames, because that gives you what they call perspective. All right. You need to have a perspective. So you have to have an idea what the big picture is and then the smaller picture. Obviously, if you're doing what? Short-term trading, you're going to be obviously focusing on the short-term picture. But it's nice to know what the macro picture looks like as well. So I start out with the 20-year graph. Now, these moving averages I use, I think, are outstanding. That's my opinion. And the RSI I work with also, I think, is quite good. And then, of course, reversion to the mean. Those are my trifecta that I rely on. There's so many ways to analyze the market. I'll give you an idea how many ways. Go down to the drop box here, and we start out with what? Bollinger Bands, dashed lines, Keltner Channel, moving averages there, parabolic. Then you go down to this Arun oscillator, and you got MACD. I mean, you could really drive yourself mad trying to figure out where the markets are going if you try to use all these indicators. Elliott wave, this is a three cycle, a two wave, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of stuff out there. Then you throw in the Fibonacci numbers, and boy, you probably got a headache, right? So what I've done here is I've kind of gone to things that I think I can rely on. You know, moving averages are based on time and price. They're nobody's opinion in a moving average. Relative strength is a momentum indicator. And when there's a divergence, it's indicating to me that the market is running out of gas in that direction. Reversion to the mean's been around for centuries, right? Things get out of line, and then supply and demand comes back into play, and then you're back towards an average number, okay? So let's start and understand what I'm talking about here. First of all, on moving averages, look at the four ones that I work with, right? Since 2010, they were generally moving up all the time. So obviously you stay with the market, right? And so if you're a long-term holder, you know, you don't wonder why you made money. First of all, money was at zero, right? Zero interest pretty much. And so there you go. When you do quantitative easing and you put interest rates at zero, assets are going to go through the roof over time. And that's exactly what happened. Now, in 2020, we had COVID, and they decided to print or increase the M2 money supply by over 25%, which is an absolute joke. And when you increase the money supply by that amount and start handing out checks to everybody who can walk and chew gum, you're going to create a real big asset bubble. And that's exactly what happened in 2021, 2022. Right now, how would I have known that the market would come back in 2020? Well, two things. One is it came down to my moving average down here, almost to the penny. And the Fed announced that they were going to print so much money, they were going to run out of ink, right? That would tell me that they're going to get this thing back on the bicycle. So the next month after we hit the moving average, rather than getting panicked down here, that was something you could buy and put your sells underneath and defend that point. Then once you got above the blue line, you were obviously back in the game. And all those averages never really started to point down. So really it was a 1 month deal. And then everything else was right back on the bicycle. So there's no reason to panic. But if you have no lighthouse in sight, it gets pretty scary when you're in the middle of the ocean and it's dark, right? So these averages give me a beacon of light on what's happening. It smooths out a lot of volatility. So anyway, you're rising and rising and rising. Now here I'm showing you an example of reversion to the mean. What does that mean, reversion to the mean? It means that the mean are the moving averages, the smoothed out lines. And longer term averages, when we were up at 4,800 on the S&P here, the moving averages on the longer term graphs are at 3,500 and 3,795, 3,500, 3,795. That's ridiculously overbought. I know that at some point it's going to revert back. And now it's just a question of when. So how do you figure out when? Here's how I figure it out. You see, you got a high point here on the RSI at 72 in November 2021. Then you got a high point and it goes up to 74. Now you got another high, a new high, and the RSI goes to 65. That tells me it ran out of steam, right? And then once it gets underneath its moving average, now it's in a, now you know it's got a pretty good shot of coming down. And where's your destination? Right around the blue. Could have been down here, but it ended here in October. And again, the moving average, if they don't point down, like on the blue line, it doesn't point down and it goes underneath it, you view that as a temporary deal. Because again, within a month, it's right back above the blue line and you're off to the races again. Okay. Now we are again getting a little bit extended up here. So that's why I got negative at 4,675 was my zone where I thought it would roll over from. Where did I get that from? Here you got an RSI of 58 and you got an RSI of 58. Now here's how RSI works. And this is all my opinion. When RSI gets above 60, it can accelerate to the upside. I mean, the market can start accelerating to the upside. When it gets under 40, it can accelerate to the downside. If it can't get above 60, it can also be a point where it rolls over from. So that told me the 4,600, 4,650 area, that area could very well be a turning point because A, it's not getting above 60, and B, it's extended away from the average. Then I turn towards the five-year graph. What do I see there? I see a high point up here of 58. I see a high point over here of 70. But what do we have here is we've got 67, we got 70, and then we go right down to 62. Now, again, right now it's just a pullback and it's holding the number right here. So you want to get nervous about the stock market. You get nervous if it gets under 44.61. That would be probably the last door to fall to get a more significant drop. So watch your 44.61. It's going to be a big number. If I go back over here, you might notice here that if it gets under 44.61, it could open the door to a much more significant drop, at least coming down towards green, which is there or there, right? Now, if you go to the one-year graph, it has rolled over. You see, that red line is definitely down. So if you really want to think this thing is going to go start taking off again, you got to get above 45.32. Look at, you'll see from the high today, let me just see here. Yeah, 45.13 would be a number. If it gets above, that would be very constructive. Today's high is 45.03. And then if you get above, and the red line pointing down is no friend of the market right now. And so if it goes down and tests purple, you're talking about a drop towards 43.34. That's 150, 160 points from where we are now. So what were the numbers I would talk to you about? 44.60, excuse me. And then looking at a possible acceleration to the downside. Okay. And then for the short-term traders, obviously the purple line is dominating the down. So notice that comes in at 45.20. Remember we said 45.13. So you start breaking above 45.13, you start breaking above 45.20. Now I'll start talking about a possible up move. Where could it go? It could go up and fill this gap if things got really going short-term and still be in a situation where it could be in a topping formation. So the bottom line is there's a gap there between what? 4593, and the low there is 4597. So it could go back towards 4600 if something happens like this week with the retail earnings coming out with Home Depot and Lowe's and Walmart, Target. You know, maybe that can get people going because it has come down quite a bit. And again, here's another thing that's kind of optimistic short term. You got an RSI of 46, you got an RSI of 41, you got an RSI of 44. So it's holding 40, right? Again, 40 can be support on the way down. If it breaks under 40, it's an acceleration to the downside. 60 on the upside can be a resistance zone. And that's what we're seeing on some of the longer charts here. Okay. So again, right now on a monthly basis, it's back on the bicycle a little bit, and you definitely want it to stay above. And look at the 4460 I talked about. If we get underneath there and start closing, I think it could be a lawn chair folding. We'll have to see, but that's the way I would see it. Right now, like I say, it is on the upswing, and there could be an attractor up there. On a short-term basis, choppy, but it looks like it again wants to stay above this number here. It got above the purple, which is not bad, but it got above purple here and got back under. So right now you want this thing staying above 4490 and definitely above 4487. So call it 4480 to 4490. If we can stay above there, if we can get above 4520 and 4513, then it's possible we're going to start going up. And because everyone might have got short, you know, maybe there'll be some short covering and maybe there'll be some good earnings this week. And maybe we'll try to get 100 points on this S&P and get everybody back on that side of the fence as it tries to fill that gap up there. Okay. On a 1 day basis, you got a high point here of 71. You got a high point up here of 64. You got a high point over here of 60. Okay. So right now it's still on the defensive here, but get this. We had a nice little buy up here as the red line turns up. We had a little bit of a sell here when it turned down. We got a little bit of a buy as it turned up. So it's choppy right here. If this thing starts getting under 4494, 4490, I already mentioned 4490, 4480, I think this thing could be rolling over. And then if it ends up underneath 4460, then the market's in more trouble. So again, we do have news coming out this week on retail. Again, it's for a 3.5% unemployment. Wages are rising. Everyone's got their salaries coming in. Everyone's still getting into that after COVID spend money. It's moderating a little bit, but it's still out there for sure. So we'll have to, you know, you have to be flexible when you're dealing in these markets. And so you can't have it's definitely going down or it's definitely going up. You have to let the indicators and the markets prices dictate more of your activity. But realize when things get way away from averages, they revert back down. When the trend is up, the market tends to go up. If you violate the red line and it's still rising, then again, these could be what they call Fugazi violations. And once it gets back above, you're still in the uptrend. Generally speaking, my view is if it's going to go down substantially, the red line's coming down. If it's going to go up substantially, the red line's pointing up. Right now, the red line's not pointing either way. So obviously, it's an any man's call. What's my suspicion? My suspicion is that you've got high and then lower RSI, and then another rally with lower RSI. So my suspicion is if it gets underneath the 4490, you might have a pretty good decline coming. But I would not say this is premature because it's not underneath that number. And again, no bias is the way you have to trade. And so again, above 4513 and 4520, it could get back on the bicycle pretty good. Okay, so that's what it looks like. And that's how I kind of read things when I do the trading. Now, let's take a look at Apple, because Apple is a heavily traded stock. And again, I wanted to show you again a perspective on it. This is how I figure out what Apple's doing. Okay, first of all, this is concerning because here's your high point on Apple in January of 2022. And look what your RSI is, 74. Now we're way up here. And what's the RSI? 66. That's not good. Okay. And so that is a market that, you know, might have had some short covering, might have had some volume that dried up. I'm not certain, but the RSI is telling me don't trust the move to 200. That's what it's telling me. And that's what it told me when we went up there, right? So now I go to the five-year graph. Oh, and by the way, remember reversion to the mean? Well, look where the mean is. This mean is way down, but look at this mean. Now, this is a company that revenues are actually, no, not doing very great, but you know, you can never step in front of Apple as far as they have all those, you know, customers who have their phones, just like you can't step in front of Meta and Google with all the eyeballs they have. But there are times where they drop, okay? And they drop because obviously, you know, there's an ebb and flow, supply and demand on the shares. Turning towards the five-year. Again, you had a high point here of 75, and then you had 76, and then you have 54. So this thing ran out of steam, and that's how you got the... See, again, this is where you're getting some kind of an idea that it might pull back. Notice it's holding the green. So right now, it's holding 176. Breaks under one. So if you're trading, you obviously would maybe do some buying against that if you want to defend it. Okay. That, you know, that's where you come up with the points. You know, why wouldn't you buy here, there? Because there's no rhyme or reason to it. Here's a rhyme and reason right now, because it has come down, tested the 24, and it held. So you got a line in the sand of the whatever the lows were the other day, which is what? 176.55. Okay. So there's your nice little line on the sand from last week, week ago, Monday. Okay. On the 1 year graph, again, it came down and hit purple. So there's another reason why the 175, 176 neighborhood is support. Again, and there's a gap. So could Apple come back there and fill that gap? Well, that's where the resistance numbers are too. So you could get a 10-point jump in Apple. It's possible, right? Now you go over to the 1 month and it is turning up. So as long as it stays above what? Stay above that 178 right now. I think that's important. And then there you go. You got your other two things on a short-term basis. Okay. And so basically on the 5 day. Now here, again, this is why you have to watch the markets all the time, especially if you're short-term trading. Yeah, down here, you're in that 40. Remember, 40 is support on the RSI. Okay. There's 36. It dips underneath it. But right, the next bar is up above 40 again. You know, that tells me that the thing probably wants to try to rally. And now you're above 50 and the thing's moving up. So again, if you were a believer that the thing might have a rally this week, there's your 1 day, then obviously, you know, I would look at the weekly options, right? And when we went down here earlier today, again, with the other charts telling you that there could be a turn here, and you know 176 is your line in the sand, this is where you'd take your weekly options. And what would you do? Well, if you're trading down here and, you know, don't forget, the other things gave you an indication that it might go up. So once it got above here, which is 178, you might have took a 178.50 call or a one, you know, if they have, I'm not sure if they have it, but, you know, something, or 177.50 call, a little bit in, a little bit out of the money for Friday. Sit back with limited risk, right? 100 shares and limited risk. And then basically see if you can get a pop. And if you get a good pop by Friday, you actually make quite a bit of money. And as long as it stays above 178 now, you know, you might stay with the position. Or, you know, is there any other indicator that might tell you to get out any earlier? Yeah, if you want to take this one, you'd like to see it stay above 178. But the premium, you know, going out till Friday is probably not too bad. You know, if it's at 178, you're looking at 179. So you're looking at 177s, ballpark figures, a little bit out, a little bit in. Right now you're at 179. You're looking at 180. You're looking at looking at 178.50, something like that. So if you think there could be a rally by the end of the week, that's how you'd play it. That's how you'd speculate. And again, if you get a nice rally, that'd be pretty good. Now we got, indicators on the sell side there, when we were up here at the higher price. So this was really where the money was made. Check this out. You make a high up here. What was the RSI? 66. Made another high over here, 67. And then you're testing all these high, but look what RSI is doing. It's deteriorating. It's not above 60 anymore. And remember, we said 60 is a resistance zone. And if it can't get above that, it could give up. So these are the things that tell me, let's start looking at those puts. All right. So if this thing on Monday, or when was the first here? The first was on a Tuesday, also a full moon that day, if you're an astrology guy. And so you are looking at the thing deteriorating and the thing's trading at 197, 196. So you might say to yourself, why don't we try the 195 puts going out till Friday, right? And by the fourth, we had dropped down to 191. So if you would have gone a little further to a 10-day option or so and gone to the 11th, you would have been able to, you know, sometimes you buy a 1-week option. Sometimes if you think you're at a big turning point, I mean, the darn thing has gone up to $200 from wherever it came, up 40% for the year. You know, if it does make a turn, it's possible it might go for a while. So you might extend your duration, you know, maybe another week. And then, you know, if you don't like the price of the close to the monies, and but you're giving it an extra week and you think there could be a substantial move, you know, you could sacrifice a little strike. You know, rather than going 195s, you know, maybe you go with a 193 with an extra week, or a 191 with an extra week. Okay, you still got limited risk, and if you get a substantial move like you did here, all the way down to 177, you know, these options that might be going for $2 or $3, you know, are going to be able to go to what, $10 or $12, right? And so that's quite a big drop here. Actually, it could go to $20. Almost, you know, $15. So again, that's why people trade the 0-day options. But when they trade them is the key. Are you getting an indicator that you can trust? Do you feel like there's a potential there? And so that's a situation that you kind of look at. So when are the short-term dated options worthwhile to gamble on, to speculate on? I think when you get a turning point, because at a turning point, well, just, this is my rationale after decades of doing it. When I look at a chart like this, you think anybody's long? I think there's a lot of people long. You think anybody who's been short has gotten blown out? Yeah. So if I see a market like this, and then I also say 4,600, 4,650 might be the high point on the S&P, and ain't going to go down without Apple going down, that's another reason why I'm looking to for the sell opportunity, right? And so basically, that's the story on that. Hey, listen, I've been around a long time. There's 9 million ways to cut the filet mignon. You know, this is the way I see it. And, you know, maybe it's not the most modern way or the most sophisticated way, but it is sophisticated in that you have to read it. You know, you have to read it. You have to understand what you're looking at. You have to have a belief in it. And again, you know, I like to have a belief, but I also like to have an exit door. So I'm going to take a limited option of a 0-day or short term, 1 week or 2 week. At least I know my money I'm putting in and I'm only doing it on the buy side is limited. Now, the beauty of being limited risk is you only lose the amount you put in, right? Here's the other beauty. I don't have to be right on every trade because, you know, if I put in an option for $1.50 and I lose it, but I get another one for $1.50 that goes to $4, I'm going to be okay. If I get 3 trades in a row of $1.50 and now I'm down about $5 and I get one trade for goes from $1.50 to $7, I'm net ahead. You know, the writing in the options, obviously the big tout on that is that they obviously can and do go to zero. You obviously collect the premium rather than put it out. And you also get whacked in the back of the head with a mallet if you're wrong. Because these options, obviously, that I'm talking about, well, let's just say this guy was shorting puts on the Apple. And why wouldn't he be? He's been making money selling puts all the way up. He's got a freaking cash register going. So he decides, hey, listen, this thing's really going good. Let's take a big short put position up here. Okay, well, now it pops down here. What he sold for 2 is now going for 20. And now it's a situation where, you know, not only is he lost the crumbs that he was picking up on the way up, but now he's probably underwater. Or if he has the money, he's got to come up with a whole bunch of money to buy the stock. Either way, it's a rough racket. So I'm not bad mouthing option writing, but I see a lot of times, in my view, people with very small amounts of money that are trying to make money by selling options. You know, I just don't know the math, how you're going to get that far ahead, you know, on a few $1,000 by writing option. And if you're wrong, that $3,000 plus then can go out the window pretty fast. So when you're dealing with relatively small amounts of money, I guess my view is that hopefully it is, it must be speculative capital and you must be suitable to do it. But you're also looking for a strategy where you can put in a buck and take out 3 to 5 or more. And you have to have limited risk because you don't have the big bankroll to take a big loss, okay? So this is the way, you know, I like doing stuff, and this is the way I see. All right, let's do around the world here. You know what around the world is? That's where we go over a lot of different markets and get an idea of where we think they might be going. Okay, so we looked at the S&P. Let's look at the Q. One year, I traded over $32 million using these indicators. So, you know, this is not something, you know, that I think is doesn't have merit. Obviously, I think it has merit. And again, you know, in this day and age, when I started out on this thing and I was doing option seminars and educating, you know, there was not a huge universe of information. Now it's an absolute joke. There's no coaster breaks on these people. They just say whatever they want. They're on the internet, on YouTube. They're sending out emails and this and that. And you know, to be honest with you, it's the wild, wild west. So as an investor out there, I give you my condolences because again, you know, putting up thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And then if it doesn't work out, they give you a lifelong subscription. Well, that's like, you know, I go into a restaurant, I get food poisoning and they say, well, you can come back anytime you want. You know, if I got food poisoning there, I probably don't want to go back, right? So let's take a look at this stuff here. And then at the end of the broadcast, I'll explain how I can help. NASDAQ, let's start out with the 20-year, see what's going on. Okay, big run up here is to 77. And now we're at 64. Hey, that's the same thing as the S&P, man. It cannot get much above 60. It's right now it's at 60. So if this thing can't get back above 380 pretty soon, this thing is becoming a more of a problem situation. And it is it is got a high now surrounded by lower highs, and it is a potential for going back to the mean. So for me, you know, I'd be very concerned, you know, just holding a bunch of stock right now. What do you do with options if you are concerned about holding stocks like this? You can do some defensive tactic, trimming, or you could do what they call a collar, where you sell an out of the money call, take the premium, buy a put underneath. Now you've bracketed your equity. You got upside potential to the top, and you got a floor at the bottom until the collar expires. And you can also do married puts, because if you have a big gain, why not throw a little insurance in there? Or you can do replacement trades. That's where you blow out your stock and you replace it with a call spread or a call of subtype, hedging yourself in case it gets away from you on the upside. You still have something. So there are ways of protecting yourself, but if you don't know how it works, obviously you're not going to do it. All right. So now let's talk about the NASDAQ. So we see that. Okay, now let's go to 5-year. Again, it's holding this area pretty good. So that's why it stalled. What do you think it stalled for? Because it ran out of gas? No. Well, maybe it did run out of gas on the downside a bit. But where do you want this thing holding above 368 and change? So it's right there on the line. Can you see the other averages are well underneath? So it better hold there if you're going to go back up. Okay. Now let's look at the 1 year. Again, all the moving averages, similar to S&P. These charts are all pretty much the same. You got a lot of congestion between 374 and 376. Okay. Any gaps? I don't see any gaps on this. Well, there could be a gap up here. Let's see. The high that day was, the high on this day is at 379 and change. And the low on the prior day is 380 and change. So you got a gap. Again, this is why I look at the whole picture, because again, that is an attractor. That is an attractor. So what would tell us, and look at the RSI down here. You got 44. You got 44 and you got 46. It's holding 40. Remember, that's a good thing. So again, is there a potential for a rally this week? There is. Is there a potential for a further reversion to the mean? Absolutely. How are you going to know which one's going to happen? Well, again, on the S&P, you start breaking under 44.60. I would say that wouldn't be very good. And on this one here, let's see if there's anything else I can hold. Yeah, on this one here, you know, really, breaking underneath 360 here would probably set us up for something on the downside, because underneath the 360, that would also break underneath these lows, and that would open the door for this thing here. Okay, so now you got some parameters to work with, which is what it's all about, parameters. Let's look at RSI down here. Okay, you're at 34, 39. See, 34, 39, and a pop. 50 and 43, a drop. 39, 41, pop. 46. 48 still looks pretty good. Let's keep this thing above 368 on the short term if you're bullish. Again, you know, this is how you short term trade. You got a low here of 40. Again, has to hold 40. 45, divergence, boom. I'm buying in there. I'm in there right there. Okay. So that gives you the NASDAQ. Let's look at IWM. Everybody seems to be very keen on small caps. Why are they so keen on small caps? Well, because they're undervalued basis the other one. If you notice all the other markets are way up near their highs, this stuff has not done that yet. Now, again, we had lows here at 40. Remember, see, the RSI holding 40 is a good thing. Yep, oh, 47. So now you know you're in a low zone. And now it keeps going up, holding 40, holding 40. Now it's above the red line, even better. So keep this thing above 180. And right now, getting back above 195.90 would be constructive. Yeah, 196. Okay. It is above the green and the red. So there you go there. Let's just do that again here. Yeah. You can see it's important to get above 196. And today it went up there, or recently it went up there to 197 and change, and then it came back down. So keep an eye on it. Getting under 180 might be a game, set, match for this thing. Let's look at, see, if there would be a recession, it would be very bad for small caps. Okay. People are now taking their whole recession thing off the table. I just listened to Rick Rieder. You know, he thinks if there's going to be a recession, it's going to be so mild that you're going to have to wake up people and tell them they're in one. A lot of people are believing we have earnings troughing now, and they're going to be very big earnings next year. Okay, it's possible. And again, if these numbers start becoming more constructive, I certainly would definitely not question it, because I go with the flow. But that's what people who have crystal balls are saying, is that, you know, we're going to get cuts of interest rate. We are going to get, that's going to help valuations. We are going to get earnings spiking up, so valuations can remain high. We're going to have, basically not too much disruption. And that's the way they're saying. And inflation is going to come way down, because the 3-month moving average on core is only like 1.1%. And so, and that the government is going to want these rates to drop, because the debt service on our national debt, which is $31 trillion or whatever it is going to be prohibitive on spending. So the fiscal spending would have to really be curtailed. And these guys don't like to hear that. And there is no debt ceiling until January of 2025. So that's kind of scary. These guys have basically an open checkbook, it sounds like. And you're going to have a situation where if rates did drop, you know, maybe they could come up with all kinds of spending programs. Infrastructure is a big deal. But anyway, let's get back here and just finish this up. So pretty much you can see 180 is a big number, right? And you can see holding right now at the number of 188 is a big thing. That's the low today was 188.64. Moving average is 188.62, right? Right. Okay. Now let's talk about the 1 year. Again, getting above 194 is going to be very key. Do we have a divergence here? Let's see. 45. We hit the low here, 44. So no divergence, but it's holding the 40 number. And these highs over here can be support, which is what they've been. So right now, if this thing were to get above 191.16, that would be very positive to maybe make a move towards the 194. I don't see any gaps on this one. And let's do short-term trading now. Today, it looks like you got a sell signal. So what do you got? This is in the last month. So on the 27th of July, you got a high point here of 63. Then you got a 62, 63. Remember I told you somewhere around the 60, you're getting a little bit higher than 60. Okay, but it didn't maintain it very long, right? So just getting up towards 60, maybe penetrating it a little bit for a day or so, you know, and then if it starts going right down to 57 and then 57 and then you see a deterioration. And once you get under the red line, that's you could start doing your put buying, right? And then the red line was pointing down the whole way. So this is a Fugazi rally, right? That held the green. And so you got a pretty good ride down there on your puts. Down here, you got a low of 39, you got a 35. And now you got a what? 41. It's getting back above 40, which is good. So again, the gap there being filled. We'll have to see how it pans out. But again, it's possible that these markets could rally this week. You got a low there of, so you got a little gap there. You got a low there of 38 and you got a 30. That's pretty low. And now you're at 34. Okay. So the fact that it's above 40 is not bad. But again, you know, it's got resistance, as we said, you know, one of the, better numbers that I can see here, if you want to be bullish, is, you know, you really got to get above that 191.16. You'd like to see it above there. And on the 1 month here, on the 5 year. Yeah. And here, this one was a very key. So, you know, if this thing can stay above the 188.62, that would be constructive. So there's a couple of lines in the sand that I would be using if I want to be bullish. Today, what did they show you for today? Yeah. Well, today, you know, it came down here in the early morning. RSI went down to 15. RSI here is down at 13. And then all of a sudden it jumps to 16. And then it starts improving to 22. And then it improves to 35. And then it comes back up here, pulls back, red line turns up. So down here, when you're at 33 and you're at 39, and the line's moving up, if you want to take a stab at the 0-day calls or the weekly Friday calls and see if you get a run, you got a little bit of a run here, not tremendous, but you may be on the 0 DTE options. You probably got some action. You know, if it turns up here at 189, you look at the 189.50s if they have them. And then, you know, if you get a dollar rally and it doesn't cost very much, you might get a bounce, you know, 50% on the option, 100% on the option, something like that. Right now, you're running into this purple line and you're running into what, 60. See, remember I told you 60, 60. Okay, so it's on the defensive now. Again, I say getting above 91, 91.50, very important. You can see here, if it can't do that, that's a problem. So let's see if it can do that by the end of the day. And then see if this week they can get these things to rally. Let's take a look at some of the different industrial metals. You know, I've been telling people that some of these industrial metals, like the three of them that I like, Cleveland Cliffs, Xerox, U.S. Steel, and Freeport-McMoRan. Problem is, this is something I own, so this was a very good day for me, as you can see, because Cleveland Cliffs, now look at this. Does this thing look like it may have more to go? Now, I don't know what this buyout thing's going to go through or not go through, but I do know that this thing has definitely had and it's been telling me to accumulate a position. So that's why I have one. Now, the bottom line is what? It's giving me great action today because Cleveland Cliffs is supposed to buy these guys. Now, that's not been great for Cleveland Cliffs, but it's been very good for this thing. And like I say, the longer term stuff has been pretty positive looking. Here again, hanging in there pretty good. And here you were down at what? You're at 39. See, it holds 40. That's support. Boom. Holds well. Here it broke a little bit, but how long? One day, right back above 40 again. Okay. So this is one of the ones that I thought were good. And then Cleveland Cliffs was looking like it could be good until they decided to spend all this money. And now right back up. Look at this. Okay. So this is another one. And it was getting banged early in the morning. It's not getting banged now. And so this is, again, this is infrastructure. So if they're going to go out there and print a lot of money and they're going to start spending money because there's no debt ceiling, this is something that could benefit. And I guess there's roads and bridges and all kinds of stuff that need to be fixed. And both Republicans and Democrats love to put it into something solid like this, because who's going to argue that we fixed your road? Huh? Who's going to argue that the bridge that was about ready to crack and put all the cars in the river, we're going to fix? Nobody's going to argue with that. So you're going to print money, which is what the government does. At least this looks like a very nonpartisan thing to do. Okay, so there you go. And then the next one is Freeport-McMoRan. The king of copper. That's what I call it, the king of copper. And this one is hanging on pretty good. But again, like I say, on a 20-year graph, you definitely want it to stay above 35. Follow the blue line. Sit tight. Follow the blue line. Okay, so there you go. All right, so there's three ideas that you can chew on. What are that gold and silver doing? Let's take a look. Well, let's take a look at the actual metal. Okay, the actual metal itself, 20-year graph. Okay, that's an uptrend, but here's my problem with gold. You see the high point there? 83 RSI. See that? 60. See that? 60. 56. No, 60, I think. 61. That's why it's not holding the gains, because the RSI can't get above 60. Now it's holding that. It's got good stuff going underneath. So this is a real tug of war. And the war will end for gold if it starts breaking under 1850, 1800. And then it'll open up the door for a move down here. That's called deflation. Okay. Now, deflation is pretty scary, I think. So, you know, I don't like to bet too much on it. Why is that? Imagine if we had deflation in this country. I mean, I got a house that goes from 400 grand to 1.4 million. Deflation brings it back to $1 million, 750, right? Now, there's people buying real estate, you know, recently who are paying these prices, right? And they're putting 20% down. Okay, so if real estate had deflation, these banks, you know, would be in nothing but huge trouble. Okay, so that's one of the reasons, and I don't believe in coincidences, the Fed had the rates down so everyone could do a refi at 2.75% and 3%, lock in those low rates. Then after they did that, that was the green light for the Fed to raise the rates and stop the inflation they created by printing 26% increase in M2 money supply. So that's what happened. And that's why people are not pressed right now. And that's why real estate's doing well, because who's going to sell their house with a 3% mortgage? Nobody, that's who. And so basically supplies are tight. And that's why your builders are going nuts, right? Because if anybody's going to buy anything, it's going to have to be new construction. Plus new construction tends to be cheaper on overall basis, you know, especially like D.H. Horton and people who do cheap houses. All right. So what's going on with gold? What's going on with gold is if it starts to break above the 2000 mark and the RSI starts picking up, I think they could blow out the 2100. If these guys are going to go back to printing, now M2 money supply, something I follow, has turned up. It dropped from a plus 25% or better in 2021. And then in April, it hit the low of minus about 5%. So it was contracting 5%, which that contraction was about as low a contraction as I've ever seen. So that's a real big contraction, but now it's turning back up, which means the Fed might be getting ready to do some printing, which means the government might be starting to do some printing. And if they start doing printing, and you could be looking at, that'd be very helpful to the gold. So right now, again, it's kind of like if you're in gold, I guess you hold on to it. If you want to get in, I think you got to be a little patient. Okay. Let me show you some signs where I would think it might get better. You see here, we start breaking above this number here. That's the 1982. So again, above 1980, then call me because I'm definitely going to be interested. As you get above on the 1 year, see, it's all pointing down. But can you see if you got above 1980 here? That means it would be blowing out all these moving averages. And where's your RSI here? 36. And now you're at 35. And where you're down here? 33. So you're over here with a little bit of a higher relative strength, which is a positive. But you got to get above 40 and you got to get above 50 to get the thing back on the bicycle. And that's not happening right here. So that's why I'm in no rush. Okay. 1 month doesn't look very good. But does it look like it's exhausting on a short term? 26, 26, 41. And now you're at what? 33. Nothing too bad. But I mean, this does say what? 26 on it. This does say 33. So, you know, let's just see what the 5 day looks like. 5 day is 35 down there and 30 down here. You know, it's, you know, dead cat bounces all it looks like right now. What's it over here? 25 and down here, 30. Okay, so you got some divergence between that low and this low. That's why, you know, you could sniff around to see if it's going to turn. First thing that's going to turn is the daily, but there's not enough data on it today. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to change the date. My bad, as they say. My bad. Let's start again. We'll go to the 1 month and see what it says. Looks bad. Where are you here? 40. And down here, you're what? 36. No divergence, but now you're back above 40. Notice they bring it under 40 for like a little bit, and then they bring it back up. So again, getting this thing back above 1944 and getting above these blue lines would open the door to that move there. How's it look on the 5 day? 5 day's got the purple line that's been controlling this thing. I mean, this is called the Fugazi move. And then so again, it's going to have resistance 1950 area, right? It's trying to turn up a little bit. How did it look down here? RSI 29. RSI 30, a little bit of a divergence, and then boom, right to 40. So there's a reason that you could have done some specking on it down here, particularly on short-term dated options. And again, on the this has turned up as of here at 1935. So you got a little bit of a buy there. Could have picked up a little bit of dough. Right now it's rolling over a bit, flattening out. Let's see what the RSI is telling us. 64, 62, 61, not good. Okay, so I'd be a little suspicious. Why would I be suspicious? Because RSI is in that resistance zone of 60, and the moving average is rolling over a little bit. So this thing starts taking out 1943, and this thing starts rolling over some more, then we could go back into the soup. That's where I would see it on a day basis. So right now, as long as it stays underneath 1944, which it really is right, it's right on the number now. They're playing tug of war between 44 and 43. You can see why, right? Purple line is across, the blue's crossing over purple, so that's not bad. So, you know, if you want to be bullish, there's your line in the sand for today, in my view. 1943 is pretty much that. You don't want a thing down here, especially if it stays down here. And that red line rolling over and starting to point down, well, you see what happens up here when it starts pointing down. You can go into the soup pretty good. And breaking under the blue, purple would not be good either. So right now, breaking under purple at 1943 and the red line turning down would tell me that there's a potential that what? We could weaken up again. So there's some good parameters, I think, on the gold. Crude oil. Now, this thing we've done pretty good with, because I'll show you why. On the 20-year graph, you see down here is when I was telling people that if you're going to buy the oil stocks, if you're going to buy oil, this is your neighborhood, because they're penetrating the purple line on March of 2023, and they're penetrating it a little bit more in May of 2023, but they're not closing it underneath, right? Because right here, the purple line was at 67.50 and the close was at 76 after penetrating it. Here, the blue line was 67 and we closed at 77 after penetrating it. So that tells me that this is the place to buy and defend. Because look, it's going to go in the abyss otherwise, right? So that's why we're up here. And then right now, let's take a look at shorter term. And by the way, it looks like it wants to possibly go on a big run. There's your 5-year. So where are you defending crude if you're in it now? You want it to stay above $75 and 77.75. I go to the 1-year. Now here, the 1-year is gave us a little, see, reversion to the mean. Reversion to the mean. That's why I was holding here, because where's the mean? At 82. Where's the low? 81.76. So it's holding on to the mean, right? If it breaks under here, then it's got more of a gap down there. RSI was here at 64, 63. That's a divergence. And you remember that 60 number is key. So that's why it's imperative, if you're bullish, that the oil gets above 85, because that 60 area of RSI is scary, that it might be a high point. So that's why you got to be careful here. Close above 85 might put that out of business. And then you go to the 1-year. See, this is where you defend it, right? You're defending it. Excuse me, the 1 month. That's why you're defending it. So you got your clouds above at 83.25. That's where it stopped going up today. And you got your defense going on at 82. So this thing starts trading 81 or more, you'll understand why it's rolling over. And again, it's getting a little bit far away from its averages. So again, a pullback would not be out of the question. It wouldn't negate the bull situation unless we started blowing out 75 and 77. On a one-day graph, again, a lot of problems at 82, 82.50, right? So that's where you are there. I'm going to show you one last thing, and then I'm going to close up here. Goldman Sachs Commodity Index. All right. Okay. This is why we don't buy things when they're up here. This is when crude was at 130 again, a barrel, right? And if it's up at 130, and I tell people that it could revert down to 550, or that oil could go from 130 back into the 60s, people are going to say, I've got three heads, okay? But reversions happen, okay? Particularly in markets that have supply and demand responses, right? So this is a situation now, and again, about half of this index is what? Oil, energy. Half of it, about half of it, ballpark, majority of the other half is metals and what? Grain. So this thing was up at 850. We said it wouldn't take out the high of 08. It didn't. We said there'd be a reversion to the mean. There was. Now the mean is right around this blue line. Again, I told people that there's a buy signal when we got above the blue line, which was around 550, 567. We got another thing if we can start maintaining above 600. You notice it hit 600 and now it's at 584. So that's not maintaining. Okay. Do I think it's possible that we're going to go back up if this thing holds 567 and starts closing above 600? I think it looks pretty good that we're going to have a rebound back up, which would mean oil will go up, which means the metals will go up and the grains may go up. Okay, but you're in crunch zone here, because again, the red line comes in at 588 and we broke underneath it. So the longer it stays under 588 on this thing, it's not good. All right. And then the last thing I wanted to show you is there's a gap. You see the gap right here? So that would be 700 ballpark. That's where we could go if it holds its water and the water, obviously, is 550 neighborhood, 560, and that's that. So again, I have been trying to explain today how I operate with these markets and how I can help you try to figure them out. And I didn't have a lot of time to go into each individual option idea. So here's what I'm offering you now. You can contact us by going to Option Professor, OPTION, Professor, PROFESSOR.com. And you can put your information in there and I can call you back. You'll talk directly to me, Jim, the Option Professor. And we can discuss your questions and everything else you need to know. And we can spend a lot more time. I'll give you a free trial run at asking some questions and me showing you a little bit about what we do. And I think after we do that, the free trial run, you'll get an idea. There's real value that I can give to you. The other thing is you can contact us by email, optionprofessor.com, OPT@gmail.com. OPTION, it's singular, professor, PROFESSOR.com, at gmail.com, or the website is .com. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. I've got my opinions. I think they have merit. You guys make your own decision. You want a free trial that I can work with you and help you with some of this stuff, like the short dated options and how to figure out market direction, you contact me. I'll be more than happy to help you. Whether you're just starting out and you need explanations, I'll be able to help you with that. If you've been in there a long time, I always say old dogs sometimes need new tricks. So whether you're experienced or you're a novice, contact me. Let me try to help you. We don't have monthly fees. We don't have annual fees. It's a flat rate deal, but you're going to get a free trial before that even starts. And we're not talking about hundreds, you know, we're just talking about, in my view, a fair and smart way to go. All right, I'm going to sign off right now. This is the Option Professor. Thank you very much for being with us. And again, good luck and good trading, and contact us so I can help you. Thank you.